be seated, and if you have your Bibles with you this evening, you can turn with me to Genesis chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40. The title of our message this evening, Check Your Day Timer. Good idea, isn't it? Considering this time next week, we will be in a new year, and so on. Let's just pray before we look into the Word tonight. Thank you, our Father, for your faithfulness. Again, dear God, we thank you for the good group that's gathered here this evening. And I pray, Lord, as we look into your word, that you would move in our hearts. Lord, as believers, that we'd be encouraged, that we'd be convicted, we'd be burdened, be enlightened. Father, if there's one here outside of Christ, that you'd speak to their hearts as well, draw them to yourself. And Lord, as believers, you know our hearts, and you know how we are and who we are and about us. Those things, Father, that we struggle with and on our own seem to have difficulty being set free, that you deliver us, Lord, from those sins that so easily beset us. And we thank you, Lord, that you are able and that you indeed know us, in Christ's name.
Delibibia.
Did I say something? Tried it again.
Is that Italian? Are you sure? Oh, Delibibia.
Okay. Well, it's interesting because someone just gave me a pack of magazines. And I looked and on the very back page, sticking in my face when I looked in there. And by the way, Christian material, if it's written by good, godly men, Confident Living magazine from back in the 80s, you should never throw them out. I looked at it, I'm very thankful, but also it means a lot of work for me, because if you were to look in my study, you would see over 60 Path of Life magazines, all categorized and cataloged, and I hardly preach a message ever that I don't refer to some of the old magazines. Why? Because if you take a look, a lot of times there are some godly men, some good preachers who have studied the Scriptures. And maybe the only written material that they ever have is tucked away someplace and God gifted them to search the Scripture. And it's good for us and good for me. So I'll be looking through that. And I thought it was interesting, the very first thing that I looked at, and it was from Back to the Bible, that, think of this. A fellow by the name of Constantine started a false church. It's called the Church. It's the biggest church organization on the planet Earth today. Vatican City is in the midst of that little nation stuck down into the Mediterranean that's shaped like a boot. And do you know that back in 1960, the gospel was forbidden to be preached in Italy? The center of the largest church on the planet Earth. And Back to the Bible, twice weekly, 15 minutes, they were able to beam the gospel message in, and today we have a missionary with us tonight who is stationed and works in Italy taking the gospel to the Italians. That's quite a thing, isn't it? And it's kind of interesting, if you take a look at Scripture, a fellow by the name of the Apostle Paul went to Italy. He went to Rome a number of years ago. So when you look at these things, and I thought it was kind of interesting, I opened it up, believe it or not, and on the very first page that I opened, it had to do a message on predestination. And my understanding is that Italy has grown to such a state today that there are those within the church who are teaching false doctrine that needs corrected. So isn't it interesting how things go full circle and how the Lord works? Well, the reason I've entitled my message tonight, Check Your Day Timer, is just this. Wouldn't it be a pity or wouldn't it be a shame if there was someone that you need to witness to? I've had twice in my life, I grieve still. One incident, I guess I was sharing with you before, there was a man, he was getting annoying. And God, the Holy Spirit, had ministered to me that I need to share Christ with this person. So I had made an appointment to speak with him the next day. Actually, I didn't make an appointment. He told me he was coming back. Okay, so I'll talk to him about the Lord tomorrow. He left and was killed. I've been troubled about that for over 20 years. A young man used to walk past our house, less than 20 years old, and then he got to be 20, early 20s. And I used to watch the guy walk by my house day after day after day. I had gotten saved, and I thought, I need to talk to this guy about the gospel. One day I got a call and discovered he wasn't killed, he died. Mysterious disease, just all of a sudden, guy in his early 20s died, and I had never shared Christ with him. Well, I want to tell you, I went to work for his brother, and he got an extra dose. I wasn't going to let that happen again. And what I'm saying is, check your day timer. Maybe there's something that you're forgetting to do. Maybe there's something that only you can do. There isn't anyone else on the planet Earth who's able to do for the Lord that which you're able to do, but because of the shoulders that you rub with your circle of influence and so on. I don't know if you've ever forgotten anything or not, but have you ever looked back and said to yourself, "Self, I wish I had have done this, or I wish I had have done that. If only I had have not done this certain thing, or if only I had done this certain thing, the whole course of the rest of my life would be different." There's a classic example that we sometimes forget. I don't want to be a stumbling block by reading so many verses tonight, but it's important. Most of you would be familiar with a young man recorded in these chapters of Genesis by the name of Joseph. Joseph was a type of Christ, and we talk about that quite a bit and so on. Anyway, he was distinctly marked with this coat of many colors that his father had given him. He went to check on his brothers who hated him because of jealousy and so on, and he was sold as a slave and taken to Egypt. To start with, think about this tonight. How many of you have ever felt that you were treated poorly or wrongly? You had negative circumstances had come into your life, and I didn't do it. It's not my fault. Because of somebody else's sin, you suffer. The truth of the matter is, because of someone else's sin, Joseph was separated from his family. His father thought he was dead. And we could get in a long story about this, because it's just interesting, the biblical principle of sowing and reaping, how years before, a young man, a supplanter by the name of Jacob, had deceived his father with hair and with blood and so on, in the same way he was deceived by his sons, who took blood and hair and so on and put on Joseph's coat to trick him into thinking that his son was dead. Well, it worked out that he ended up in Egypt, and he advanced very quickly because he was a godly young man, and once again, he found himself in prison because he refused to sin. He was approached by Potiphar's wife and so on, and he refused her, so he ended up in prison. And we'll take up the story in verse 40. There's something interesting in this. It says in chapter 40, verse 1, "It came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers, and he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound, and the captain of the king's charge Joseph with them. And he served them, and they continued a season in ward. They dreamed a dream, both of them." I'll tell you, I have some dreams sometime, and I don't want anybody to tell me what they mean. It's scary. How many of you have ever had a dream that didn't make any sense at all? Just because you were sleeping does not mean that you didn't think of that. I got thinking about that one day. Whoa, I want to tell you, I hope my mind does not start thinking of some of those things when I'm awake. We would all be in trouble. And I can remember, and you can put this in your pipe and smoke it. It got interesting because when you're in missions, and in the type of missions where we were, where there was a lot of spirit worship and so on, there was oppression in the whole business. And I was sharing, talking with actually the director of our mission at that time, Bud Elford, and I had no problem to wrestle the oppression when I was awake. But I would have nightmares, and I would be asleep and be conscious enough to know that if only I could pray. And he said, "Well, you're not too bright." "What do you mean?" He says, "Well, why don't you pray before you go to sleep?" I would start reading Psalm 3 and Psalm 4. "I both laid me down and slept, for thou hast sustained me," and all this. And it's interesting how from that period forward, I didn't have problems in that department. is we have an enemy, the wicked one, and so on. And having said that, you don't have to feel too badly about some of the dreams you have. Maybe we'll have a dream confession day at the church. Wouldn't that be fun? You can all stand up and tell us all about your dreams, and then you can ask the Lord to forgive you. We're responsible even when we're asleep, you know. Verse 5, and they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream, in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph, and said unto him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded. And in her blossoms shot forth, the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup. I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, and Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto the place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me. Make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. Now, the interesting thing with this portion is just this. He interpreted the dream. He knew the answer to the dream would be that this gentleman would be back in Pharaoh's court, because he knew the God of the Bible, and he knew the truth of what the interpretation was. So he did. Good idea. Listen, when you get back there, you think about me, and you tell Pharaoh that I'm in prison and I didn't do it. You think kindly of me. You go back. And now let me ask, if you were in the same circumstance, you were in the same situation, first thing you would do when you would get back is you would mention Joseph, right? Truth of the matter is, for time's sake, we won't read quite too far, but we'll pick it up in verse 22. He forgot. And Joseph spent 2 more years in prison. The only person that could do something to get him out simply and plainly forgot. Verse 22, it says, but he hanged the chief baker, and Joseph had as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. I want to tell you, if you were back in prison and you were waiting for this butler to talk to the ruler to have you set free, and he didn't, you'd get tired of that after a while. In verse 40, chapter 41, it goes on and it says, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine, and fat flashed, and they fed in a meadow. Behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kind did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kind. So Pharaoh awoke. And He did wake, didn't he? Okay, I'll back up, read verse 4 again. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kind did eat up 7 well-favored and fat kind. So Pharaoh awoke. One of the things that you have to keep in mind, that I just went to the eye doctor and I had my glasses checked, and do you know there's no such thing as a pair of glasses that can fix the problem I have? They can give me a pair of glasses that are great for reading up close, or they can give me a pair that are good for reading far away, but for reading medium like I do, there's no such thing. So you're just going to have to put up with it. Verse 5, and he slept and dreamed the second time, and behold, 7 ears of corn came up on one stalk, rank and good. And behold, seven thin ears and blasted, and the east wind sprung up after them. The seven thin ears devoured the seven rank and full ears. And Pharaoh woke, and behold, it was a dream. It came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream. But there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, and this is what I wanted to look at and think about tonight. It's an interesting thing in light of the circumstances or what had taken place that this gentleman had said. Look what the butler said. I do remember all my faults this day. Well, I would like to suggest to you this evening, as believers and so on, adherents and members of Bethel Baptist Church, that if we were to be honest with ourselves and take a look into God's Word tonight and to remember all of our faults. And when I look back over 2007 and look at the things that took place that would have been wrong and sinful and negative, that would have been my fault. Wouldn't it be good at year-end to take care of some of these things? Wouldn't it be good that if there was someone in this building tonight who had ought against someone else and there was friction and there was a difficulty that's hindering this church, that's hindering this home, that's hindering this family, that's hindering you, that if we could remember our faults and look and somewhere along the line tonight to remember and to repent and to turn our lives around. I just found it interesting that this gentleman said that he remembered his faults. Psalm 119, verse 101 says this, I have refrained my feet from every evil way. I wish I could quote that verse tonight and say that in 2007, every time, always, every day, that I have refrained my feet from every evil way. If I were to say that tonight, you would look at me and say, oh, Pastor lies. If you were to say that tonight, I could suggest that maybe you're dishonest with yourself also. I have before me once again, and I don't like to use the name, I've been reading J. Sidlow Baxter a lot lately, and one of the things that he had said in reference to this came to my mind because I was talking with someone some time ago, and it was a long-distance call. I was talking on the phone, and we were talking about a situation that was going on that I had some to do with, and this gentleman said to me on the other end of the line, how does that make you feel? Well, I want to tell you that because he said that, that annoyed me just a little bit, so I asked, why did you say that? Then the confession came. But because of the place where this individual works, the psychology of the day is that we, when we do something or something takes place, the idea is just this, how does that make you feel? And I thought to myself, let's look back over our lives just the last year. Does everything that you were involved in, everything that you have done, make you feel good about yourself? Isn't that a... If I could use the word dumb tonight, isn't that a dumb question? But the simplicity of the matter is just this. If we could be honest with ourselves before a holy God who knows us, and we could be like the butler and say, I remember my faults. And then we have to somewhere along the line come to grips with something else. And that's what I started looking at, and I got thinking about, you know, there are situations and there are areas in all of our lives. Maybe it's something you caused, maybe it isn't. But there sometimes will be a situation where you're the only one who can do anything about it. And I don't know if you thought about it or not. It sort of pierced me when I looked at that magazine tonight. Because can you imagine if Theodore Epp or whoever who got the wonderful idea that maybe we should try to send the gospel via radio into Italy had decided not to? Sometimes when you don't realize the little things that you do, God uses in a mighty way. And I've thought about it so many times. How come the Lord is laying on your heart some certain thing? Maybe it's because you're the one He wants to do that certain thing. I can remember an occasion, I've shared this with you before, when I was with another Christian gentleman and I witnessed to this person and the guy, and it was a lady and it made her upset. The man who was with me said, you need to use wisdom when you witness. I said, what do you mean? He says, well, the Lord didn't want you to witness to that person. You upset them. I said, well, I didn't upset them. The gospel did, and I didn't pursue it, and I didn't force the issue. I just mentioned that my life was completely, totally, and absolutely changed since the last time I saw you. I've been born again. I'm saved, and Christ died for you. See, that's the gospel. I didn't say, you should come to Bethel Baptist Church. That's great. I appreciate people inviting people to church, but don't ever dream that inviting someone to church is witnessing. You can come to this church or that church or any other church your entire life, be baptized 50 times, and die and go to hell. So I had shared, I mentioned to this gentleman, okay, if the Lord didn't want me to witness to that person, who did? I just had this urge and felt the necessity that I looked at this person and I thought, this individual is lost. And I felt an urge or need to share the gospel. And can you believe that somebody told me that the devil wanted me to witness to that? I don't believe that, do you? No, it's the Lord who wants us to witness to people. And I thought about it before, and to my knowledge, that individual has never come to know Christ as her Savior. And so on. So you could ask yourself this question. Here, when it comes to this idea of the butler, there was something that he omitted to do that only he himself could do. And Joseph had been horribly wrong. And now, which would never, and there may be those things that will never be done because we have failed to do them. And it's important for us to take inventory of our lives sometimes. And he said that he remembered his fault. You know what? How about this? Keep your eyes forward. And why am I saying that? Because as year ends, what I'm suggesting, and Scripture suggests this, we won't turn there tonight for time's sake. It's one of my favorite portions, and it's referred to quite a bit. Psalm 139. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. We have a designer, and we're made in His image. And God wants to reconcile man with Himself. And so on. And it gets interesting because when you read the first few verses, it tells us just this. Do you know that God knows what you're thinking right now? He knows when you've sinned. God, those things that we think that we're hiding from everyone else, and we may. Things that you may hide from yourself. Your heart's deceitful. It's desperately wicked. We can't even know our own heart, but God knows our heart. Psalm 139 tells us that God knows us intimately and He knows us ultimately. Then when we get to the last few verses, it's ask the Lord if He can see to show you any wicked ways that He could see in you. I did a little exercise once and I shared with you. I was so disappointed. I didn't want to do it. And it's just to help you find a little thing someone had done a number of years ago. Sin in your own life. And I started to jot things down. I had a whole page in about 5 minutes. And it was all things that no one would be able to look at me and ever dream that these things are wrong or that they're sinful. But we're sinners by nature. Anyway, the butler finally got to the place where he talked about Joseph, and Joseph was set free, and we know that God set him free and used him. I was reading an account, and I think it's important for us to do this. This week we could call this a one-point message. Just take inventory of your life, and those things that are there that you know that are there that hadn't ought to be there, deal with them. You've all survived and made it through 2007. I do this little lifeline once in a while for myself and so on, but instead of doing the whole life, we'll just take a look at last year. It was an interesting year, wasn't it? And you stop and think of all the things that took place. There are people who came to this church last year that came this time of year lost. Now they're born again. There are people who would be in our midst that would be involved in things that I know nothing about, or maybe not too many people know anything about, but that it would be sin that needs to be dealt with. I was reading about an incident that took place in a school, a boarding school in England, and I thought this was rather interesting because a bunch of young guys, and well, there's a saying that you've heard this one, boys will be boys, was down about the last day of class, and a bunch of the young guys went out into the courtyard and built a fire. Well, no big deal. I mean, they weren't trying to burn anything down, but they knew it was against the rules. And the schoolmaster wouldn't like it. So on anyway, and all of a sudden, some of them had this horrified look on their face. Why? Because they looked around, and lo and behold, guess who came to look at the fire? The schoolmaster, or the principal. And he had in his hand a black book. It's interesting, as the account goes, that the black book would have been the record of, we'll call it, for the sake of our NDBBI, students' demerits. All the wrong things that they had done, that if they accumulate so many, you get to go home prematurely. And they saw him coming with the black book, and what are we going to do now? The schoolmaster looked at them and grinned and threw the book into the fire. And told them, well, I need to get a new book. I'll start it over next year and ask them kindly to put the fire out. And guess what they did? They put the fire out. Let's take inventory. Let's take a look at our lives over the past year. And I got thinking about this, things that I have forgotten to do. How many of you have ever, your clothes. Have you ever accidentally showed up in church dressed inappropriately? I know of a gentleman one time, actually it was one of my uncles, got ready to go to work, and they all worked in the woods. Went down this morning, and here is Uncle Shalda, work boots, coat, whole business, axe and bucksaw in his long johns. Put his coat on, his boots, and he forgot to put on his pants. Why? He was really, really tired. Where are you going? I'm going to work. There's a lady, Grammy B would know, I went to visit Sheila one day, and she said, I had never met her. You're the pastor? Mm-hmm. She said, oh, you look like a buck farmer to me. Well, thanks a lot. And the truth of the matter is, I was dressed in my finest, but Eugene wasn't there to, you know, rub down my hair and all that she normally does. And I thought, listen, we wouldn't come to church or whatever. We check our clothes. We check our garments and make sure that we're dressed for the occasion. And we don't have big, strict dress codes here at Bethel Baptist Church and that sort of thing. We need to dress appropriately, and I think that's right. And that is good in the whole business. But the truth of the matter is, and I jotted down three things that we need to check. Do you know that according to Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10, that he has given us garments of salvation? Do you know when you're born again, you're given a new set of robes? They're because the flesh, in the flesh, that we're unclean before a holy God, and we can't be in his presence dressed in the flesh. He gives us, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12, raiment of righteousness. That's for us to live by. Clothes for life. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's kind of interesting. He gives us robes of immortality to live forever. Glorious new body one day that we're going to have. When we stop and look, and I thought about this idea a number of times, when we get to New Year's or the last day of the year, I guess it might be just an automatic thing for some of us to look back over the year and say, have I been productive? Has this been a profitable year? I'm not speaking financially, because, well, I could put it to you like this. By the time I have one of those, I'm going to be too old to know what money is, and I'm not worried about it. Never thought about it. Actually, I was talking with someone the other day, and I can quite honestly say, I've never aspired to be rich. Why? Why would somebody want to gain, though, all the things the world has to offer, and then somebody else spend it? And that's just how it works. So I don't know if I'm too smart for that or whatever. But the truth of the matter is I sat down the other day and I looked at this passage and I thought about it. Here's a case where one man forgot about somebody, and you know the course of the entire world was depending on a butler to remember that Joseph was in prison, and how at the appropriate time he remembered, and God used that so that Joseph at the right day, at the right hour, could be put in the right place before the right Pharaoh, that his family could go down to Egypt and be delivered. Why am I saying all this? Because look over your life and look back on those things that either you've forgotten or neglected. You want to make sure that with eternity's values in view, we don't leave out that important thing that could change the whole course of time and eternity for someone. Let's pray. Again, Father, thank you for the few minutes we've had. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for who you are. And dear God, we thank you tonight for the forgiveness of sin. Lord, that if we confess that you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. And thank you, Lord, for these robes of righteousness that you've given us that we don't deserve. And Father, I just pray that we'd be conscientious of those things that we could do that would help someone else to come to know Christ, help someone else to live for Christ. And dear God, even to help ourselves be the believers we ought to be. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.